you should take yourself to wherever you go. So one of the, I won't say mistakes, but one of the limitations I had when I first went to Luxembourg was being too afraid to be myself. So I remember, you remember Antonio Gina, our mutual boss, said to me one day when I was complaining to him, and he said to me, "You know, Arthur, we brought you halfway across the world to Europe, not because you're European, but because you're Australian. So be yourself." And that was the best advice that I had.
You are a driven international professional or manager, have achieved quite a bit already, but are asking yourself from time to time, what do I really want? How do I want to work and live? Then this is your podcast. I'm Gina Friedrich, career and life coach for people who want to actively shape their future. Every second Thursday, I release interviews for you with inspiring, successful, as well as renowned international personalities from the world of business, NGO, and sports. They all will share with you what these questions mean to them, how they handled obstacles in their lives, and shaped their journey to where they are today. You are curious and don't want to miss anything? Sign up for this podcast right here. And now, let yourself be inspired on your very personal journey towards the future that you wish for. Hello again. I hope you're all well, and I want to thank you for listening today. My guest in episode 14 is Arthur Panos, a good friend of mine who lives in Sydney in Australia. He currently is a freelance commercial director with a very broad international experience in global positions, for example in companies like British Allianz in Singapore or Vodafone Group in Luxembourg. Besides this professional part, he's working on his university degrees in science, history and writing. After many years of being an expat with his wife and two kids, he recently returned home to Sydney. Today, he talks to us about his experience of a life abroad. We hear how it was the desire to grow personally and professionally that made him take the step, and how his first key learning was to always bring yourself wherever you go. He shares how he handled doubts, took difficult decisions, and how taking over a director role in an Asian country and an Asian company was fascinating and brought along many surprises. Stay tuned to listen to this and much more. Hi, Arthur.
Hi, Gina.
I am happy to have you here on the show today. Thanks for spending your time with us.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
For everyone who's listening, Arthur is a friend and we know each other since so many years. I think last time we saw each other was like, I don't know, 1.5 years ago in Sydney, Arthur. Do you remember?
Yeah, that's right. You came with Manu and got to enjoy the delights of our beautiful city here.
Yeah, and you've just reminded me on the sunburn I brought
yes.
home from that. Yeah, but time flies, amazing. Yeah, now you're here. And to help our listeners to get to know you a bit better as a person, why don't you tell us, who is Arthur Panos?
Okay, as Gina said, I'm Gina's friend. met Gina in Europe when I was working there. But before I get to that part, I'm a husband and father of two kids and have been working mainly in telecommunications in my life in Australia, in Europe, and in Asia most recently, in Singapore, and now back home in Australia for the last since the last 2 months.
When you were reading through the leading questions of this podcast, like what is my path and how do I want to work and live, what was the first thing that came to your mind?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, my path has changed so many times, but I've always pursued what I think is to be the most interesting and sometimes the most challenging path. So, you know, moving from Australia to Luxembourg with a wife who was 6 months pregnant with our second born son was quite a challenge for not only for me but also for Barbara. Having and I couldn't have done anything that I've done without her support. And Barbara is a very very supportive and brave woman. Our attitude has always been, if you are given an opportunity to do something interesting and different with your life, you should definitely take it. So we had that mindset when we went to Luxembourg, which we loved, and we still feel the benefit of that for what it's done for both Barbara and I, and also for Anna, our 16-year-old, who still is very fluent in French, which she picked up there, and speaks it with a lovely accent that everybody remarks about. And in the same way, coming back here and then getting the opportunity to go to Singapore and travel around mainly Southeast Asia was another opportunity that was presented to us. And again, we had the same view, which was, you know, it's not every day that these sorts of things land on your desk and you really can't say no. Well, we don't feel like we could say no. So we took ourselves, Barbara and myself, and our two kids, who at that stage were a couple of years younger than they are now, and went into a very different environment to what we were used to in Australia and also in Europe.
Arthur, one quick question. I mean, in general, you're answering so many questions already that I had here in my mind. But in general, how did you experience the time that these job opportunities abroad came up for you? I mean, you were just like explaining a little bit about it, but how did you experience that? I mean, like you've already mentioned, you were going, you were moving from one continent to the next. Yeah, how did you experience that time?
Oh, look, I would say it's mixed. It's super exciting, but it's a big deal for an Australian to go all the way to Europe and leave your family behind and your childhood friends and all that kind of stuff. Because it's like you're going to another planet. You know, it's a 24-hour trip. It's 6 to 9 hours time zone difference. And that's not even considering the cultural differences, which there definitely are, which I wasn't aware of before we left. But it was also just really exciting because it was so far and so different. We found out to what life is like here. There are obviously a lot of similarities. It's not completely alien. For example, you make friends, your friendships. I still have some very strong friendships with the people, yourself included, that I met over there. But just the way of looking at the world when you speak to somebody who's had a completely different upbringing to you and has a different worldview to you is really interesting, and you can learn from that and grow from that. I also learned that you should take yourself to wherever you go. So one of the limitations I had when I first went to Luxembourg was being too afraid to be myself. So I remember Antonio Gina, our mutual boss, said to me one day when I was complaining to him, and he said to me, "You know, Arthur, we brought you halfway across the world to Europe, not because you're European, but because you're Australian. So be yourself." And that was the best advice that I had over there. I'll stop talking now for a little bit, so you can ask more questions.
I mean, in general, you just go ahead whenever. Yeah, see, there's more. Tell us more.
You know, there were difficulties, you know, being so far away from your family and friends. As I said, there are ways of keeping in touch, but the friendships you make, the relationships you build, that if you can maintain, it's just a stay with you the rest of your life.
Yeah, what a great thing, right? But going one step back, before these new friendships or new people came into your life, how did you bring about decisions like this? Like, yeah, really leaving home? And what were the key factors maybe for you taking these decisions?
It was a desire to grow personally and professionally. So the desire for growth, to take on new and interesting experiences and challenges, is something that really drives me. You know, I look back on the things that we've experienced, and it's been amazing. And we continue that to this day, both in terms of how we relate to people around us, the sorts of things that I encourage my children to do, even the things that I'm doing back home. We were speaking earlier, Gina, that in parallel to all of this travel and business stuff, I also was doing a master's in astronomy because I love that. And now that I'm, and because it just takes me into a different space, if I could use that term, it takes me somewhere else that is different to my normal daily life. And it really bends my mind, which I really love. And then being back home, I kind of, you know, I've been studying the outer universe for a long time, and I've decided to look at the inner universe a little bit more closely. And so I'm doing a subject at Sydney University in philosophy. So looking at the inner universe, as well as a whole host of other things.
I just love that story. I just love that you're doing all this. I mean, we had the chat, of course, before, but for those listening, there was a time in my life when I was studying international business and spending a lot of time with this astronomy. And I thought, like, maybe that would have been something that I should have go for. And but then there was, of course, the question, what would I do with it? And then later on, there was even the time when philosophy came into my life. And I never went for it. But now hearing you talking about all this, I can just smile. So thanks for sharing this again.
When I go to university, it's a day or two a week, I really pinch myself. When I sit in the lectures, I just can't believe that I'm lucky enough to be engaged in listening to and studying this stuff. I just feel very lucky, very, very fortunate.
Yeah, and it's amazing that you really took these decisions, right, to really go for it and just do it. I don't know. I think it's really impressive. I mean, you had a full-time job really just following something that inspired you and that you wanted to understand a bit more. So I think this is really impressive. Was there anything that, just in case someone is listening who is also having the feeling of, oh my God, there's something that is really triggering something in me and I don't know what this would lead to, but it's something that is interesting to me or that I at least want to find out more about. Is there any advice you could give someone maybe in this stage of life trying to figure out if there's a bit more?
I would say don't worry so much about where it would lead to, because you can never know that. It will take you to places that you won't know. But some of the fundamental things that I think about, that I would encourage everyone to think about, is what is it that I am passionate about? What is it that I'm interested in? What is it that motivates me? And if you follow those guides, it'll take you to the right place. You'll be happy along the way. You may never get to the end point, actually, but it's not really about that. It's about how you live your life and what are the things that you do to live a full and interesting and happy life. It was what I would say to people.
Yeah, and staying open for the stuff that is happening on the left and right side of you and your life. Yeah, still keeping an eye, see, Arthur, there we go. And it was me first. Keeping an eye to the left and right and, always being open to stuff that might happen on the way, as you've just said.
Absolutely.
But you have now described a lot of different things already. Did you ever feel any doubt about, life-changing decisions that you took in life?
Oh, yes.
Tell us about it.
So many doubts along the way. So many doubts along the way. Deciding to move abroad is a big decision. Big doubts whilst you're making the decision, but that's natural. You should kind of expect that and welcome it and say, hello, doubt. I'm gonna beat you. And then, after you've made that decision, there's always a time where you reflect and think, did I make the right decision? Usually it feels great when you go through with the decision. So when you get on the plane, for example, to do your discovery visit to a new place, in my case, I'm thinking of Luxembourg now. It always feels great when you get on the plane and everything's new and interesting and you meet new people straight away. I love that. And then I think also when you live somewhere that is far from home or quite different, after a few months, you have doubt. You say, am I doing the right thing? This is not what I was expecting. You might get a bit homesick or whatever. But again, you should be expecting these things. I'm a big fan of Stoic philosophy, where they encourage you, the thinking there is to encourage you to think about some of these things that might get in your way and expect them, and you can overcome them more easily. So doubt creeps in after a period of time. You push through that. And
how did you push through that? So what helped you or who helped you throughout such a phase?
So I think other people can help you, coaches, mentors, friends, family, yourself, actively challenging yourself to win this battle, to get through it and to not give in and go home. Little things like you know, running, for example, or meditating, or really getting into what it is that you're doing, or if you're really hating something, trying to find something around that.
So Arthur, you have spent the past almost 2 years in Singapore. And yeah, you know, I have spent quite some time in Asia, about a year in Japan when I was 19. I studied in China for about 6 months when I was 26. And yeah, just a few years ago, I also lived in India for half a year. And I remember the many, let's call it culturally surprising moments I have experienced, be it in a positively impressive or also sometimes challenging way. Yeah, there are many things coming to my mind, especially in Japan, where I was so surprised and impressed about how respectful and with how much mindfulness the people treated each other in daily life, especially coming from Germany. This had quite an impact on me. But what was the biggest challenge for you when you started into the adventure Singapore? Maybe you can share one on the personal and one on the professional side. I mean, you worked there as a director in an Asian company. I'm curious about that.
It was very, very different to what I'd done before. Very, very challenging, super interesting. On the work side, my job involved dealing with 12 countries in the region. So, and they are in the same region, but they're very different to each other. So a Singaporean is quite different to, you know, say a Korean, for example. So that, you know, wrestling with the cultural differences across those 12 countries was super challenging and super interesting. Finding out how to work best with people given their cultural context was fascinating. Many unexpected surprises, the level of respect that some cultures have for other people and what they do, and you know, how on the personal side, you know, some of the similarities were amazing as well. So again, if I could talk about Singaporeans, they are so bonded to family, and I had no idea. It is amongst the strongest family bonds I've ever come across in my life. And I just wasn't really expecting that so much. And it was almost like being in Greece when I visit my parents are Greek. So sometimes I go to Greece and the family bonds there are huge. And it was like being there, except I couldn't understand what they were saying because I don't speak Mandarin. And they looked a bit different to a Greek. But there was a lot of similarities.
Sounds like an exciting challenge going for such a position as well. So you being a director there, I assume there were people from many different countries that you were managing. Is there something that you can share with us about this experience?
There certainly were people from several different countries in Asia and one or two Europeans as well. It wasn't that dissimilar to the team I managed in Luxembourg, which had people from all over the place that I was working with in my team. The cultural differences between people are very important and very significant to the way they see the world and the way they see you and the way they see each other. I think in Luxembourg I had to handle something like 15 or 20 different nationalities, depending on when it was. In Asia it was, you know, 5 to 10 in the teams that I was a part of. And you know, I think we have 2 ears. I'm sure you've heard that old adage, and you should be listening to people, understanding what makes them tick, respecting their differences, and learning from them as well, because everybody has a perspective that you can learn from. So, yeah, I really enjoy. I find it very stimulating dealing with people from different cultures. And at times it's super challenging, I will admit. Because there are things that you just don't expect, but you learn from that. You listen, you absorb, you learn from that. And without your teams, you are nothing. So you're a student as well as a teacher in those sorts of environments.
In general, I mean, I remember when I was living in a different Asian cities, I was walking through the streets and observing people and getting to know the local culture a bit more, and all with my heart full of joy and, of course, curiosity, while sometimes, of course, going mad on the work front as well. You have just explained a little bit around it, but what motivated you to keep going when it got really tough sometimes?
I think when anything gets really tough, the best thing you could do to handle that kind of adversity is to keep going, because it gives you a feeling of agency, like you have some control over what you're doing. You're moving forward. You have a level of control of the circumstances, even if they're really, really bad or really tough. If you're standing still, you won't feel like you're tackling it. If you keep going, you're moving forward, you're solving even the tiniest problem one step at a time, it does eventually build momentum in the right direction for you. So keep going is my advice. Don't stop. Don't turn back. Don't panic. Everything is surmountable. Everything is not as bad as what it might seem at first, and just keep going.
Do you manage to have this perspective on such a situation all the time, or are you still struggling with that sometimes?
Oh, no. I have many struggles. many struggles. But I think it's life is about how you deal with those struggles. So we all have our fears. We all have our doubts. We all have our pain points. And it's how you react to those. There's no difference between us. There's nobody there that has no fear. I would argue that if somebody has no fear, that they're living a very dull life. But it's how you handle them. Do you face them? How do you get through them? What do you think about them?
But like you have just said, everyone has these thoughts, fears, doubts. But a lot of people also, that's something I see in my coaching practice, a lot of people believe when they come with a concern or with beliefs that are not really supportive, that they think they're the only ones feeling like that. And all the others that went through with their path and had a successful career or whatever, that it looks like in the end to them that they never were facing such situations. But it's something that everyone is dealing with. We just have to accept that. And what we then need to do is trying to understand, where is this feeling coming from, right? What lies behind it? And what is the worst thing that could happen? And I'm just wondering, did you ever have a period in your life when you really felt stuck?
I really felt stuck. Yeah, probably a few times, Gina, but I won't tell you about all of them. I think...
Oh, God, now I get it. Oh, my God. Did you know you did not mean that, right?
Oh, I did God. Not mean that. Well, lost me now.
The you feeling stuck. You said that you're not going to share all of the experiences when you felt stuck. Whatever. Let's just continue. I'm sorry. In German, when you talk about... Okay.
Tell me.
It's so early still in Germany. How can I have had such thoughts?
Could you explain what I did?
So tell us about when you felt stuck, the one time that you would like to share with us.
Oh, I think I know where you're getting at. That's very funny. It's far too early for you to be thinking that way,
but you
Dana.
Didn't even mean that, right?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, how bad of me now. Oh, God. Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, so that's okay. That's quite funny. There are many, Gina, many moments in my life where I felt stuck. Some of the most significant that I can think of were before I left for Europe, after 10 years at Vodafone Australia. I was feeling a little bit caught in a rut. Every day was the same. And I really wasn't fulfilling my potential. I really wasn't living the best life that I could. What I didn't know at the time was that the answer to that is not necessarily jumping on a plane and flying 20,000 miles away to live for a few years. It's actually how you react as a person and what you do with your life, be it in those same circumstances, in that same place, or whether you go somewhere else, somewhere different, and try something new. But as I was explaining earlier, it's very possible to do new and interesting things that invigorate you and excite you and stimulate you in the very place that you are. You can travel with your mind. Having said that, taking a trip abroad, moving abroad for professional reasons and personal reasons is a fantastic way of getting out of that kind of stuck situation. It really tests you, challenges you, and makes you grow, and you will never regret it.
Yeah, having lived and worked in so many different parts of the world, which habits or maybe also beliefs you have acquired throughout these experiences made the biggest difference in your life as it is today?
Yeah, I think there are some things that have remained with me for a long time, and they are pretty fundamental to me. They are always be yourself. Don't try to be somebody that you're not. Always put people first. Always, always put people first. Keep things simple for yourself, for your business, externally, internally, your colleagues, your family. Keep things as simple as you can, because life gets complex enough. When you're in a position, doesn't matter what role you're doing in a company or job or professional situation, always come from a position of strength. Always do your very best, no matter what it is that you're doing, because it gives you a sense of pride, and also people will remember you. People will remember you maybe in several years' time and say, that guy was good. And you might get an opportunity from that as well. And there are many examples of that in my life where people, have just knocked on my door and said, hey, remember me. I remember you from this period, and I'd like you to try this. And it's opened so many doors for me. And finally, again, from a business perspective, you should operate as if the company that you're working for or the client that you're working for, that company is your own, that it's your pocket that's on the line. It's your passion. It's your investment. You operate it as if it is yours. And that makes a huge difference to how successful you will be.
Yeah, interesting. I think it needs a bit more to really feel like that. And you really need to love what you're doing.
Oh, definitely.
So I think it might be a good way of trying. And that might also change the perspective on so many things. And it might just feel different as well, right?
I think so. And, I think regardless of the situation, you can find something to love. So there's many aspects to a job, for example. Some you might not enjoy, but some you might. So it might be as – I remember my earliest job post-uni was in a call center calling. We were having a recession in Australia, and there was all these fresh young graduates like me who were calling people and asking them to pay their phone bill. And you would think, oh, what a terrible job. And for me, it was a terrible job because I had a lot of problems asking people to pay their phone bill, people that were old or broke or whatever, or unemployed. I really struggled to do that job. But I loved talking to the people. I really enjoyed learning about their lives, to the point where, I remember one old guy, he was an ex-fighter pilot in World War II. I remember him ringing and asking for me, and I still get goosebumps when I think of it. He said, hi, I'm not calling for any particular reason, just to let you know that I've got cancer, and I just wanted to let you know to thank you for being so kind to treat me like a human being when everybody else was not respectful of what I had done and the person I was. You treated me like a human being rather than a phone bill. And that really has remained with me all my life.
I have goosebumps while listening to this story. It reminds me a bit on my mom. She's like a nurse on wheels, you could say. And the health insurance in Germany is really like, okay, you get this and that amount of seconds to give the medication. Then you have this and that amount of time to take care of the wounds and so on. And that with all these strict timings, like having 3 minutes when she is visiting the patient, that there's actually not any time in regards to the job in general making these people feel like people. I mean, maybe they're waiting 6 hours for someone to show up because there is no one anymore left from the family or no one is visiting. And then someone like my mom comes in and actually from the professional side would just need to come in. No time for talk, no time for being human in such a moment. And yeah, that's just something that reminded me on her also adding time to her usual day-to-day schedule, private time, just to make sure she treats people like they deserve it, because they're people, right?
That's right. That's a fantastic story. That's exactly what everyone should be doing, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's what is adding a feeling of being satisfied and impactful on your own as well, if you see it like that.
Indeed. So that job that I had, I was the worst person in that job. I lasted for 8 months. But then I was taken out of there. I was given a promotion. And I moved into financial planning and finance, which was a huge step up for me. And I got a reputation for being a real rock star in the previous job because I was promoted. I was the first person to be promoted out of the call center. So I got a really great reputation. But what not many people know is that my boss had called me over in that first job, and she looked at me and she said, "You're the worst person I've got in that job." I said, "Yep." She said, "Why don't you just ask people to pay their bills?" I said, "Because I can't. I can't do that to people who are telling me that they have no money. I can't ask an old person to do that. You're right, I'm terrible at this job." And I was expecting her to fire me. And she said, "But you know what, Arthur, you're really, really, really good with people. And we need that in the financial planning department. So I'm sending you there." So she gave me a promotion, even though I was her worst employee. And she gave me the promotion because I was good with people.
How amazing that she noticed, right? That she took the time to understand what it was that in the end did not lead to the best results in terms of numbers, but what made you special in that role. I think it's great that she realized that this is an amazing skill you have.
Yeah, she's a good person, Karen. I still keep in touch.
Is there, maybe better asking, what's the one question you wish you had asked yourself or a mentor or a manager earlier in life?
That's a good question as well, Gina. I think from early on, I would like to have asked myself, you know, what is it that I really love? And what is it that really motivates me and drives me? Because I think particularly when you're just starting out or in a transition phase, you kind of fall into things as opposed to follow a direction or follow a passion or a dream or a certain kind of end goal that you're driving towards. I think it's good to ask yourself, you know, what do you love? What are your passions? What drives you as early as possible? You might not have all the answers, but to get an idea of where you're headed really helps you to eventually do the things that you really love doing, to get into the things that bring the best out of you and that you are your best for.
Which then automatically leads to success and a happy, happy work and personal life.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Arthur, thanks so much for all the answers to my many questions. I enjoyed the time with you quite a lot.
Thank you, Gina. I really enjoyed it as well. And I enjoy your other podcasts as well, by the way. They're really excellent. Well done.
Thanks a lot for your feedback. All the best and warm regards to Barbara and your kids. And I hope to speak to you soon.
Thanks, Gina.
Bye, Arthur. Thanks again for tuning in today. If you enjoyed today's interview, I'm more than happy if you would sign up for my podcast on Spotify, Apple, Android or Google Podcast, Deezer or TuneIn. I hope to have you here again soon. Warm regards from Düsseldorf.